Hey guys, welcome to Honey, We Need a Chat. We have had a day, well, an evening. We've had an evening.
We did have an evening.
Yeah, we had one. It's still in that
evening. We're still having an evening, yeah.
So we've been, yeah, well, it's not too late, which is good. It's getting up to 9:30. I had work tonight. I had a meeting. You had to take the kids to a...
awards night, and I didn't remember about it until I picked them up from school, and they very excitedly told me that we were coming back to school at 6 p.m., so that was fun.
I was bummed I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
I was very glad that you filmed it.
Yes, it was very cute.
Yep. So it's something, it's stuff that I really try and get to, which my work usually allows for.
They're normally have nighttime things on, exactly. So that's helpful.
Anyway, we're set up now. So tonight is a regular chat.
Yep.
Well, not a chat. Well, it's regular... There's
chat.
Not regular.
Honey, we need to
because
chat.
We've got two different types, and the regular is both types because they're both regular.
I think we need to find either a name for this type of episode or just call it
chat.
Regular, normal, that kind of thing.
This is a Reddit chat. So these in these episodes, Amy will go on to Reddit and grab a bunch of topics that have been discussed on there, bring it to the podcast, and we will discuss it either what would we do in that situation or how could we avoid that situation happening? What do we think about? We really try and bring it from our perspective rather than talk about what they should do, but what would we like to do in that situation?
Yeah.
So I don't know what these topics are, so it's going to be a surprise. Surprise for all. But before we start, I've brought out a chat jar because we love to do icebreakers to get us into the mood, the chatting mood. So... I've got a bunch of questions that I put in this jar.
Did you show them your art on the jar? It's very pretty.
Chat jar.
And even the paper work on the outside.
Yeah.
The very intentional...
Ripping
of the whatever passata or whatever it was. Sticker.
So I'm just going to grab questions out of here. I'm going to ask two questions.
Okay, cool. So this is your new thing you're doing.
My new thing.
Yeah.
My new thing. So I'm in charge of the icebreakers, just so you know. That's my job. All right. What's one thing you thought you'd never do until you met me?
What's one thing? I didn't really think I'd eat like jalapenos.
Jalapenos? I don't know how to say it.
Spicy things.
Yeah. Jalapenos.
Spicy pickles. But I got into them a little bit.
What do you have with it? You have jalapenos and something. It's not by itself.
Well, usually I'll have it with when we go to Paco's Tacos. I have it with chips. That chipotle, I think it's chipotle sauce, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah,
so good. Now I want that.
The thing I thought I would never do until I met you was get into, what's it called? The show, same Parks and Rec, not Parks and Rec.
Oh, The Office.
No. Like England... old times.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, that's the one. I never thought I would get into shows like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
So we've just finished the...
words are not working. Gilded Age.
And I really got into it. I actually really loved it. Yeah. And I would never have gotten into
it. You got into it more than I did at first. I got into it at the end, but that was because I was editing our episodes while we watched it.
Question one down. They're just throwing down.
You just threw it on the ground.
That's my job. If you could pick any character from a book or movie that reminds you of me, who would it be?
So there's a few. Nick from New Girl reminds me of you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I reckon if there's any character from New Girl that I'd want to be,
it'd be Nick. Yeah.
He's the best.
You're just a little bit of like this cranky, older than your age man and just similar vibe, but also the guy
Flattering.
In the best way. That's what makes Nick endearing. And then the guy from, Pimento, I think his name is.
it's like, from Brooklyn, I don't know if I should be insulted or honored by that, but I'm actually strangely honored by
it. Yeah. He's a good character.
From Brooklyn
Nine-Nine. Crazy. If you don't know who he is, he's crazy. And someone actually said it to us, one of our good friends was like, you look exactly like Pimento.
Yeah.
I think it was her that said it first. And then I couldn't not see it. Everything he's in, actually, that guy. I just see your eyes and some of your face. What about me?
I don't have like a movie or TV character, but I remember when I saw you, your smile, and I've said this ever since, like your smile, like your jawline and everything remind me of like Reese Witherspoon. But I don't know why.
Which is so weird to me.
Yeah.
But I've had another person say that to me as well.
Yeah. So I don't know why, but yeah, just your jawline and your smile reminds me of her. Yeah. So I guess like shows that she's in, but rather than a particular character.
Yeah. Or your personality. Is there anybody by personality that or character that reminds you of me?
No, because we don't really watch shows like that. Like I feel like a lot of the shows we watch, they're extreme. Well, I guess every character you've said about me is extreme. Am I extreme?
No, but you know what I think it might be is – this is probably a hot take, controversial. Mm. A lot of shows, the girl characters, in my opinion, are very weak characters.
Yeah.
So, or they're kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And potentially some people love them. But I'm listing off our favorite ones in my head right now. And all of my favorite characters are the guy characters.
Yeah.
Because they're, even though they're, some of them are extreme, like Dwight, for example, from The Office. He's extreme.
Yeah.
But he's so, you feel so much affection towards him.
Yeah.
Whereas like Pam, she's nice, but she's kind of just like a,
Yeah, but I like Pam and she has some great moments, but it's like, she's, how do I say it, too dull to be like you.
Oh,
but I love her character.
Thank you.
But it's not you.
I will take it. That's the safest answer you could possibly have given.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that gets you off the hook of having to try and think of someone, so that's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, anyway, we've done that.
We broke the ice.
Let's get into the topics.
Yeah. Well, firstly, I just want to say, even though this dates this episode a little bit, we have been so excited to have launched.
Oh, wow. I fully forgot.
Because we pre-record, so this won't come out until weeks after we've launched, but we launched this last week in real time and it's been so incredible and humbling and the feedback has been amazing. And I was saying to Blair when I was preparing for this episode, I just want to like record and then release like straight away because it feels weird to like
wait.
To wait. And also because we've learned so much in the episodes we've recorded that like now we're doing things that we didn't do at the beginning. So I'm still having to edit our early ones and be like,
yeah.
And even now we're still, it took us like an hour to get or longer to get ready just to try and brainstorm some stuff. But anyway, we're really excited. It's been amazing.
So thank you so much for everyone that has supported us, shared, liked, subscribed, all of that. But also I just want to say thank you so much to those that have written in. That's been, oh man, that just warms our hearts, warms our souls just to get that feedback that it's been relevant to you guys. It's been so encouraging because especially when you start out, you don't know the impact that you could have. You're just like, hey, this would be fun. We hope we can help people. But until we actually hear it, it's, you just don't know. So that was probably the biggest thing is like, are we just going to be another podcast that just chats?
Out into the nothingness.
Mm. But it hasn't been that. And so we want to thank you so much for those that have written in. And we want to keep encouraging that. So.
Yeah.
Please tell us your stories, share with us, go on this journey with us as we grow. We want to grow with you guys. Mm. So we just want to thank you again for all of the support. It's been very, very encouraging.
Yeah. Both of us have been on podcasts previously, like hosted podcasts previously. And the one that I did with a good friend of mine was a beautiful podcast and I love it. And if you are a mom, check it out. This is our village. But we did it for 2 full years and so many times we're like, we can see people are listening. Like, so we'd say on our episodes, like, if you're listening, let us know. We'd put like surveys out and we got such few responses, which is fine. But I was like, I know there's people listening. I can see it. And then after we finished the podcast, we'd have people come up and say, oh my gosh, I listened to every episode. And it was really encouraging. But I was like, I wish I'd known because it was really hard. So it's been so nice to have feedback.
After the first weekend, like we launched Friday and then by Sunday we're getting feedback and
which is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like Blair said, like 100%, if you're sitting there like, oh, I really enjoy the podcast, but I don't really want a message, or I feel awkward messaging, or they'll think it's weird, or like we love hearing that means everything to us. And it's really easy to fall into moments of being like, is this even worth doing? Or like, do people even care about this?
Mm.
And so whenever we've had those messages, even in the last, since Friday, which is not even a week, I've had so many ups and downs of being like, oh, this is not going to do anything. It's not going to be important. And then I'll get a message and it's boosted that. So please do continue. Anyway, so yes, as Blair alluded to, we have a theme for the stories that I've collected. Sometimes it's hard to find stories that are fully in a theme, especially because they're so, like, each story is so unique. But I think I've gotten a vague theme, and I'm just going to say it's probably not using English right, and that's fine. The theme is...
English is overrated.
As we go on to our English-speaking podcast.
Yes.
The theme is the taboo of it all.
Yeah.
Meaning those things that are hard to talk about when you're married, but they sometimes do sit there under the surface. Dun, dun, dun.
Honey, we need to chat.
All right, so the first one is, these are all from r/relationships on Reddit. The first one is called, "My boyfriend said that he likes me when I was skinny."
Straight away
in the gut. In the gut. And I was, I'm just going to read it. "Me, 21 female, and my boyfriend, 22 male, were out for dinner and talking about celebrities that had gained weight. He said he didn't like them anymore because they got fat. So I asked him, do you think that about me too? When we met 5 years ago, I was skinny and pretty, but I've gained a lot of weight because of COVID, some family issues, and other things in life that have caused me stress. Now I'm huge and I don't like myself, but he has never said anything about this. I hate this language, but I'm just going to read the story like the person's written it. After I asked the question, he said, I still like you, but if you're asking me if I prefer you now or before, I'm going to say before. The whole world just collapsed around me. I started crying and I asked, what don't you like about me now? And he said, I liked your skinny face and your body in general. We went home after that and I was crying a lot. At home, I kept crying and he started saying that he still likes me and loves me and that gaining weight didn't change his feelings, but he just wanted to answer the question honestly. I don't know what to think. Our sex life didn't change when I gained weight. It maybe even got better, which is why I was so shocked. Our relationship is fine. Of course, we fight, but not about love or attraction. I just think that when you love somebody, you don't care about their body, if they're fat, skinny, chubby, etc. You just love them for who they are. If you've experienced something like this, tell me what to do and what to think about this." So as I was preparing these stories...
Thank you for the easy topic.
Yeah, I just dived right in. They're all a bit like this. That's the taboo of it all.
Yeah.
As I was preparing for these stories, I was saying to Blair, I think there's two layers that I'm kind of going for, at least right now. One is the story, which is a whole thing in its own. And then the other is the conversation that sits behind it. Mm. So addressing it slightly separately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that's absolutely the kind of context of it.
Well, because again, what we want to do is look at this scenario and put ourselves in that position.
Yeah.
Right. So we're not going to come at it from what he shouldn't and shouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up, well, he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah. He has said in his story, in the story that she's written, I still love you. Like, it hasn't changed what I feel about you. In my thinking, when I read this, I, for one thing, they're 21 and 22, so they're young. I think potentially he said something stupid, not potentially, he has said something stupid, and potentially he didn't think through it very much when he first said it. Whether he, I think it's very possible to still love somebody completely and have some negative feelings about stuff like how their body has changed. I don't know that it's important to say that to them. She did ask him. It's just one of those delicate things.
So that's where I was going to go. All right. So I just want to state some facts.
Facts it.
Facts.
Yeah.
I mean, COVID, I don't know where they were, but we put on weight in COVID. Yeah. Like, oh man, what was our triggers? We had, we'd go into a circle.
A cycle, yeah.
Cycle. We would go too much alcohol, then too much food, then bought
so much dumb stuff. Like, so much.
Yeah. And then too much alcohol, too much food.
Yeah. So we would do one and then we'd move to the other. So we'd eat, overeat. That's what it started with. Yeah. I think we're like ordering like menu log all the time. Also, it was a really depressed time. Like you were absolutely like burnt out. It was horrible. So I, no down.
No. I'm just saying like, COVID was a time of putting on weight, right?
Overeat, move to alcohol, move to buying, move to overeating. Yeah.
And as well, putting family stuff in there too. Like there's other things that are in there. Now, What I want to ask you, because I hear this a lot from a lot of guys, like they don't want to lie about it, right? Yeah. So this was us.
Mm-hmm.
How would you have wanted me to respond if you were asking me? Because that's the thing is, okay, like just to say facts, right? You've had 4 kids. When after you gave birth, you did not look like what you did. Like straight after you gave birth, you did not look like what you did when we got married, right? Now, I've said to you very truthfully, my love for you and everything had not changed, and it had not, and my attraction to you had not changed at all. And I genuinely mean that.
Mm.
But if this person, and I've just heard a lot of guys say comments on, like, specific comments, and I'm just like, why?
Mm.
Like, obviously you know that you don't look the same as you did before having kids, right? Yeah. Like, straight after babies, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously, you knew that. Well, how would you have liked me? How, you asking me this question, how would you like me to respond?
So, the question that she asks in this is, they're talking about celebrities that have gained weight, and he's saying, I don't like them anymore because they got fat.
I think it's the first dumb comment.
100%. Like, also, they don't like you either. So,
yeah. Exactly.
Good for you.
Calm down, man.
Yeah. Anyway. But so they're already talking about that. So he's saying, I don't like them because they gained weight. This is what she's written in.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, she's like, well, I've gained weight. Do you think that about me too? Then he says, I still like you, but if you're asking me if I preferred you now or before.
Yeah, right.
I would say before. So that is the thing. So if I was to say to you, have I gained weight? And you said, no. I'd be like, well, you're lying because I know that I have.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's any benefit in lying to somebody.
No.
But I also don't think if I had said, have I gained weight? And you're like, yes, that wouldn't be helpful either.
Yeah.
I think if you said, yeah, I mean, your body's changed.
Yeah.
Your body's changed a lot. You've had 4 babies.
Yeah.
And then reinforce that to me. And also like the neutrality of it rather than it being like, yeah, you have.
Yeah.
You know, or like, yeah, you have. Like, there's a neutral part where it's like, yeah, your body's changed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want you to lie because, for one thing, it would make me not trust you.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not necessary. Also, I've asked the question.
Mm.
If I said to you, do you not like me anymore as well? Like, you don't like these celebrities. And you said, if you're asking if I preferred you before or now, and you said you preferred me before. See, but the reason I brought this up is not to just smash this guy because he said something stupid. He'll probably be digging himself out of that grave for a long time. The reason I brought it up is people's bodies change.
Hmm.
And especially for women when they've had children, there's a huge insecurity around their body changing.
Hmm.
How do people navigate that? That's kind of the underlying question.
Well, how have you? That's probably a good question. How have you navigated that, right? Because that's been a journey for you for many years now.
Well, I mean, that's such a big question. Like, as in, there's not like an easy answer we can do in one episode. But instead of the insecurity side of it, because we'll deal with that, I'll talk about that in a sec. There's also the side of, can a partner's attraction to someone waver based on their physical appearance? And then I guess the other question is, what is attraction? Because I think as you get older, everybody's body changes, right? And breaks down in most cases. In everybody's case, as you get older, your body starts to break down. Some people get fitter as they get older, and that's incredible. But you change. You get wrinkly, you get old. So attraction can't be fully based on how you look.
Yeah.
It has to be something else as well.
So So when you said that, I had to take a deep pause because I feel like I've got a couple of different conversations in my head that I'm like, how would that conversation go? Like, what would that scenario be? I believe that it's down to what you entertain your mind with, right? If you allow your mind to hold physical appearance above other elements of your partner, then yes, I think you could lose attraction to your partner, right? But I think that's a very shallow thing to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, we're going to change. Like, you know, in 40 years, we're going to look very differently.
Even
and weight's
suddenly.
Not even going to be... The issue there is going to be, can I actually bend my knee? You know, like.
Can you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but even not that, you could be in a car crash and or get horribly burnt suddenly. Like, it's something totally outside of your control could totally change how you look suddenly.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is like, so what are you investing in with your relationship, right? And again, the importance of communication, the importance of investing in that relationship, getting to know each other and that being. The beauty of the relationship rather than two attractive people.
Mm.
You know, I'm like, the attraction is still a big part of that, but it's not the I don't know.
I'm looking because it's such a hot take.
It's such a complicated thing. It's hard to go about how to say it, but I feel pretty strongly about that. I feel pretty strongly that it's really down to what are you holding on to in that relationship, yeah. In terms of a values thing, whatever else, you know, because if we take COVID, for example, we put on a lot of weight in COVID, me included. Yep. And you just had our daughter. You had a lot more of an excuse than I did.
Yep.
For me, putting on that weight was more than just me putting on weight, right? And she said herself, she was going through stuff.
Yep.
Then she put on weight. And again, like I think when he's focusing on that, it's like he was looking for an excuse to say something about
exactly,
it.
Exactly. That's
and that's where
say.
I was sort of getting a bit like cringy about. Yep. Because he's focusing on the wrong thing there. Like, I don't think the focus is the weight. And we've had health conversations, 100%. You and I. That's very different than a weight conversation.
It's tied in, but it's not it's not the thing.
No. So we've had health conversations and then – but it was really focusing on the underlining issues of what was going on.
I think the – well, so to answer my question that I just asked you, the attraction thing. Similarly, in a previous episode, we spoke about this, your attitude – so like bitterness. Mm. Similarly to that, what you, like you said, what you entertain in your head is where your focus is going to be. I think that physical attraction is an element of romantic love. Mm. But physical attraction is in the eye of the beholder because there are so many people that my friends would say would be attractive and I'm like, I don't see it. Mm. I don't see it at all. And then people that I've found attractive that they wouldn't see as attractive. So you can see attractive qualities in somebody outside of them looking perfect, because nobody looks perfect, for one thing. You can find attractive qualities in people. You can be attracted to different things. If that's purely based on their size of their body, then that's flimsy. Mm. That's not a statement on them, for one thing. That's not a statement on this girl having gained weight, like, oh, she's lost her attractiveness. That's actually a statement on how 3D his perception of attraction is, if that's what has happened. If he's lost his attraction to her, because she's gained weight, his attraction was very weak and very, like...
Shallow.
It's not deep. It doesn't have multiple dimensions to it. And so that's more on him than it is on her.
Hmm.
The other thing with this is what you focus on is what you get. You can look at somebody and be like, they're getting bigger and bigger. And you can become so obsessed with that. For whatever reason, it could be because of them changing or because of the lifestyle that sits around it. And that's probably more of a thing for us in our conversations. It's been more of like, what's the lifestyle that we're sitting around the health, the physical changes. So, you know, not moving.
Mm.
That's a lifestyle that comes with other things. So like, you're not like you could be depressed, for example. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that plays into that. What you focus on is what's going to fill your brain. And so I think if you are sitting there like, obsessed about the fact that your partner is gaining weight, you're going to be obsessed with the fact that they're gaining weight. You're probably going to find yourself struggling to feel physically attracted to them. You can also change that and focus on the things that are beautiful about them.
Mm.
And I think everybody has things that are beautiful about them. And so I think that's a personal attitude challenge on them. The other thing about this is, what is he wanting to gain from this conversation? What is your outcome that you want? Do you want them to know, yeah, actually you've gained weight, I want you to lose weight? Like, is that what he, because that kind of sounds like what he was trying to do. Like you said, he found a moment. So he just like answered so that he could finally say the thing he wanted to say. If you want to build up your partner and help them be the best person that they can be, there's a way to go about this conversation that is not this way.
No.
Especially if you know they're insecure.
Absolutely. And yeah, I don't know. I just think back to the conversations we've had, because again, weight has been a big topic of a conversation for us. And I'm not perfect. Like I say dumb stuff all the time, but never about weight. Like I think that's such a universal struggle for guys and girls. Like I don't think it's just women.
Well, she's insecure about it.
Mm.
She actually feels the same way.
Yeah.
So it's easy to make him look like a villain because he said it and he shouldn't have said it.
Mm.
But she also feels the same way. Mm. Like she's got the same deal going on. It's just in the insecurity basket.
Yeah.
Rather than the being rude basket.
Yeah. And I want to say like as well for me and for the guys listening into, you know, I remember there was that moment. So it's like, all right, so I'm struggling with this stuff. What can I do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you said too is focusing in on, you know, the beauty of that person, you know, that's where you focus, and actually be intentional about that focus too. I remember when I felt like there was a switch that was flipped for me in terms of my intentionality of becoming the man, becoming the husband, the dad I wanted to be. And I I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Like, there's a series of sermons talking about pretty much how to love a woman in a way, in a non-sleazy way. And it was a real challenge to me because I think growing up too, like, I'm a family of me, my brother and my dad and my mum, right? So the influence of how to speak to women and stuff like that was very minimal for me. Like, I didn't have...
There wasn't many women around.
No, exactly right. And I was in a very man's man world growing up and stuff like that too. And not to blame that, but it was actually when I saw there was something different in a different way to do it and an honourable way to be a husband and dad and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, man, that's something I want to do. But it took that moment for me to see something different, to realize that I needed something different. So at the same time, I want to show grace to this guy
100%.
And be like, look, dude, you're young, man, you know, but also the challenge at the same time, but do something about it.
Yeah.
Like you do something about that. You have a choice to fix this, not fix it, but you have a choice to stay down this path and be shallow or be a man and suck it up and like, change your views and
see the deeper things.
Exactly right. Yeah.
I think something I want to say as well is she's obviously insecure. So, and that is such a common story, especially for girls. I think for everybody, but especially for girls and especially around weight and physical appearance. The best way you can ever encourage your partner to be the best version of them is to be uplifting and encouraging. Mm. So I think you would get way better results. And that sounds so weird when I'm saying it like that. I hear it, but. Way better results with the quotations by being super encouraging, making her feel super loved, making her feel really valuable, making her feel very safe. The times where I've struggled with my motivation in any way have been when I'm like, I'm feeling low, I'm stuck on the couch and I feel lower and lower. Like that just makes it harder and harder for me to get out of a rut of whatever kind. Mm. The best times are when I feel empowered and uplifted and safe and I'm able to get out of that. Then I'm actually able, it's like my brain opens up to these other concepts like health.
Mm.
And that took me years.
Mm.
Like taking pride in how I look, like that kind of thing it's like survival mode in your head when you're in that place. And when you're in survival mode, you don't have the capacity to think about how your physical appearance, like, or how to prioritize how your physical appearance is or how your health fitness is, that kind of thing. That's not what you put your brain into. Your energy goes into survival.
Mm.
So until you're kind of helped to get out of that, and then your brain can kind of like, then you can like expand your mind and think about health, think about how you might feel better physically and that kind of thing. Like when you're stuck in that clutch of insecurity driven stuff, it doesn't get better. Even if she was to lose a ton of weight, that wouldn't fix this problem.
No.
At all.
No.
But you can, like you can work on this together. You could work on it. But this is not the way, to say the least.
I think this is just such a big topic we can talk about for a long ages time. And I think we should recover it back another point, just sort of sharing, maybe in a chit chat episode.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a big, big topic. It's hard to know what to cover in this.
Yeah. We might move on to the next one.
Let's do it. I get nervous about it. Oh, man.
The last one, you
start off with my... What do I say about this? This is huge.
That's why I said I want to just talk about these things that, like, that's something that sits under relationships.
Mm.
People don't want to talk about it. Maybe it shouldn't be talked about sometimes, but there is a conversation there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey guys, we just want to pause for a second here just to ask you guys for a huge favor. Can you please like, share, subscribe this episode? That goes a huge way in supporting us, helping us reach more people and to build this awesome community of people to be continually growing in our relationships with our spouses, with our partners, and with you guys as well. So thank you very much.
So next one. I, 21 female, feel like I am emotionally cheating on my boyfriend, 21 male. Again, young, just to note the ages. So my boyfriend, male 21, and I, female 21, have been together for a little over a year. Things haven't always been great. We've had our fair share of disagreements, but always managed to meet each other halfway. He's very committed to me and really wants to take care of me and have a family someday. He's also quite attractive. We will both have a great income in a few years because of our education. So starting a family, even as early as 25, is very possible. Now here's where my problem began. Recently, I've been into two specific men I know. One of them is 40 plus, and my relationship is nothing but professional. So in my mind, it's a crush and nothing I won't forget in a couple weeks. It's just a harmless crush, probably induced by his talent and confidence. The other guy, I'll call him A, is where I start to worry. Although not in the way you might think. This man is almost 40. He's absolutely gorgeous, and I mean sex symbol kind of gorgeous. He is one of those guys who knows how good he looks and how smart he is, so his confidence really shines through. He's also really successful. I've known A for a few years, and about 2 years ago, I noticed he started flirting with me. I was single back then and hadn't even met my boyfriend yet, so I subtly flirted back. This happened for just a little while until I found out he was married, so I immediately backed off, even though he still continues to flirt very openly. I mean, before I knew he was married, the chemistry was there for sure. Now, I know this might look bad, but it's not what you think. I would never get involved with married men, even if I was single. I love my boyfriend, and I don't have any intention to hurt him, but every time one of these men cross my mind or flirt with me, in parentheses, she says I don't flirt back, I can't help but feel guilty. If I hadn't found out he was married 2 years ago, I probably would have gotten involved with him back then. I see him around quite often, especially the last few months. Even thinking about these things makes me feel like I've somehow cheated on my boyfriend, like he doesn't deserve this. A is still messing with my head. I just need some solid advice on what might resolve the situation.
Okay, so there's A, B, and C. There's three guys, yeah. Is that right?
Well, so like one being her husband or her boyfriend, sorry.
Boyfriend, yep. Yeah. So
there's the first guy is just someone she works with and she thinks he's great, but she's not really worried about that, she says.
Yeah.
Second one is this guy, A, she calls him, and he's the one that's married and they've known each other for a few years and she was flirting with him before she realized that he was married.
Yep. Okay. What are your thoughts?
So again, there's two sides to this conversation. One is this conversation and her question around what to do with that. And the other is how you navigate attraction in marriage. And it sort of plays off the last question because what is attraction sort of thing. My first thoughts on this is I can't remember or figure out if she knows these guys from work. That's what I couldn't figure out what her context was around it. I don't think she said it in her story. So for the first thing on my mind is, well, what context are you seeing them in? Is it something you can avoid? And if it is, avoid it. Especially the married guy, like avoid big red, avoid that. If it's something you can't avoid, that's a different dynamic and something you have to work out because we don't always have control around, like if we're working with someone, for example, we do have control at the very like base of it all. We could be like, okay, well, that's it. That's too much of a thing. I gotta leave or tell my boss or something like that. Until it gets to that extreme, it's not very easy to control who you're around in that sphere. So I don't know what the context is here. If she's got control over how much she's seeing them, my first thing is thinking is if you're feeling that way and you're a little nervous about it and nervous enough to write into Reddit about it, then you should be probably trying to remove the contact with that person.
Yeah. So we have been, you and I have been quite strict like with this in terms of not that this has ever happened to us, but we would take drastic measures, like no room for anything to come into our relationship at all. Like that's the thing, like even to the point where we would change jobs.
Yeah.
We would and that's the thing is like, even if she works with him, even if it is a work context, I know it's not as easy, but we would do that.
Yeah.
We would remove ourselves from that workplace if that was not a healthy place for us to be in.
Yeah.
If there was any room for something to come into between our marriage, our relationship, we would remove that.
Which is, I want to just note, is really easy for us to say when we're not having to do that.
Absolutely.
Obviously the reality of changing jobs is, especially right now, hectic as.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, that's a very daunting thought. Yeah,
but priority-wise.
What I'm saying is like, I still want to stick to my guns on that though.
Oh, 100%.
It's not going to be easy.
No, I totally agree with you.
I would like stress that's the level of
boundary.
Action. Action that needs to be taken place or something like that. Like if somebody's entering into between your relationship with someone else, cut it off.
Yeah.
Again, much, much easier to be said than done.
Yeah.
The other part is I think if that was you, I would have expectations. So again, depending on what level it was at and if it wasn't too far down that line, if like she says in there that Hunky Bunky was flirting with her and she wasn't flirting back, I would expect you to say something to him and say, actually, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Again, like there's no excuse. Like there's no, I know she's like, he's doing the one that's following. It's like she's putting it off to someone. It's not me. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Like, yeah, you're
but
not.
But she can't stop thinking about them.
Exactly. Yeah. And she's entertaining it still by the sounds of it. And so she's allowing it still because she, you know, my guess is that she likes that feeling still. Mm. You know, it's nice when someone shows you that attention. It is nice. Mm. But that's a no-go zone if you've got another relationship.
Like, yeah.
Drastic measures. It's not okay. It's never okay. Never allow it in.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. I would say, like, what I would expect you to do is say to him, that's inappropriate. Yeah. I'm in a relationship. And he might be like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. Doesn't matter. I don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you have a crush on him or not. Mm. The word crush of someone else in a relationship, to me, just.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I think one thing that, and we've spoken about this specific thing before, but because you were a pastor, it was almost like amplified the need to put boundaries in place. Yeah. I think we would have done it anyway, but it was good like to have that extra pressure because it was just obviously pastors need to be extra super careful because of the other stuff that's been going on. But I think you need to, as a couple, it's really important across the board to figure out what your values are and your priorities are. And especially in this area, you need to sit down as a couple and you need to be able to say, like, you need, before it happens, you need to have already put boundaries in place about like what is appropriate and what isn't and what would you do and what wouldn't you do. And I think if your genuine answer to the question is like, if your question is, what do you want the outcome to be for your relationship, for this situation, whatever, and your genuine answer is, I want us to be like me and my partner to be stronger. I want nothing to come in between that. I don't want even like the hint of that temptation. Then there's things that need to be like, then that's your value. Mm. So then you need to figure out your behavior from here. First thing is, I don't know that she's spoken to her partner. So that's one thing that I think for me, that would be the first
thing. How long are they dating for?
Only a year. And so also to put in here, they are just dating. So, which young, is, like, and they're young. Not to say that in dating that that's fine, because it's fine. That to me, I'm like, if you're moving on emotionally, you need to either decide if you're going to stay with him or move on emotionally. You don't just drag him on. Like,
but I think it's more of an insecurity in how stable is this relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, she might have that confidence that he would be
still there.
Work with her through it.
Exactly. And it is a lot easier when you have a commitment to your partner to kind of fall back on and be like, okay, well, when the rubber hits the road, this is where our line is. And I know that you've got my back and I know that I've got your back kind of thing. But yeah, have the conversation. That's the first thing I would do in this situation. It would be so hard. And I think I'd be like, I don't want to make Blair freaked out. But we have had these conversations. Well, not quite this conversation, but like conversations in this arena where we've had to say uncomfortable things and be like, this is something I just want to make you aware of. And what are we going to do about it kind of thing? Or just even just talking about it. So it's out, like we've spoken about on the podcast before, things that are dark, like in the darkness, in the like dark parts of your brain, they just sit there and they fester. They don't get better.
No.
So especially when it's something that you need to work on together, I think having that conversation together is really important.
What, I know of some people that have been in this situation though, and again, it's so hard and I don't want to come across like it's easy at all. Their fear is like, but they're my good friend too. And I'm going to lose that relationship. I'm going to hurt them. I'm going to hurt my husband. I'm going to lose that friendship, all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's, oh man, that's going to be so hard. But again, we just have that no compromise.
Well, attitude. What does compromise do is the question that I'd have in that situation. Because what, you keep a friendship with somebody and, but if it's already crossing boundaries and it's already getting blurry, what is the benefit? Like, what is the long-term outcome of that friendship? What is the long-term goal? And that's always helps me when I'm trying to figure stuff out is like, what do I want long-term? What's the dynamic I want long-term? And if it's that I am okay with like potentially just continuing to face over and over slippery slopes of temptation in this area. All right.
Yeah.
But that's not normally going to be people's answer.
It freaks me out a little bit. Like when I hear that, it's like, oh man,
just like, cut it off.
Nothing should be more important than a new relationship with your partner. Like no other relationship should be more important. So prioritize that. Like every relationship is secondary by far. You know?
There's a phrase from one of my favorite podcasts, which is F politeness.
Oh.
I'm just going to say F politeness. Cause that's who I am.
Fridge politeness. Fridge
politeness. F politeness. And they're talking about it from your safety perspective, because especially for women, like, we tend to struggle to be impolite if someone's like even like hitting on you or something and you don't like it. It's hard to just be like, piss off. But this is the same sort of thing here too. Like, it could feel, it would feel so uncomfortable to have to say something to him. It would feel so uncomfortable, because what if he turns around and he's like, I'm not flirting with you. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't think that. Like, that would be so uncomfortable. But you know what? F politeness, because if he is flirting with you, if his intentions are different, even if he turned around and said, I was not flirting with you, which is likely what he would say, because who would, why would he fess up to it? Especially as a married man. You're not losing anything. It's an uncomfortable conversation. You are drawing your line. You are showing where your boundaries are. You're calling him on it. Even if he gaslights you in that moment, he's like, no, I wasn't doing that. You're making it all up in your head. You've lost nothing. Like, you have lost nothing, because someone like that is not actually worth your friendship effort if they're going to do that. If they're willing to compromise their marriage because of that, that's not, in my mind, that's not someone who I want to put my polite energy towards. And if it's at the compromise of my partner, it's just not worth it.
I mean, they're talking about kids and stuff.
Yeah, they're talking about having a family.
Get into it. Like, you know, well, don't get into it. Get out of it. And get into him, you know, or him.
All right. So that's that one. I think the other element of it is attraction in relationship, which sort of just ties into what we've said. And that is, for me, that's the same thing. Like, you will, people are attractive. There are people that you will find more and more or less attractive. I think, again, what you put your brain to is where it stays. You, looking at someone and be like, they're pretty attractive, and then you turn away and you go on with your life is one thing. That's going to happen. You can't control that. Looking at someone and be like, they're pretty attractive.
Dang, son.
They are pretty attractive. And then walking away and be like, they were really attractive.
Yeah.
That's a whole different thing. Like, that's where that stuff starts.
Yeah.
And that's where you're in control of your attitude and your brain. You don't just stumble into love with somebody. You don't just like randomly all of a sudden be like, I can't get this person out of my head because they're so attractive. You have control over what's going on in your head. If we didn't, we'd all be walking around like toddlers just snatching things off people. Cool.
There's dang toddlers.
Okay, I'm going to read them the titles to you, and you can tell me which one you want to talk about. I want to pursue gymnastics, but my boyfriend isn't comfortable with it. Should I drop gymnastics?
Let's do that one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because it's light?
No, because I think we can relate to it.
Yeah, that's why I put it in there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, last story. I, 19 female, want to pursue gymnastics, but my boyfriend, male 20 of 1 year, isn't comfortable with it. Should I drop gymnastics? I've had gymnastics as a hobby and a passion for a while now, and I've always wanted to get back to it as I dropped it for a while because I was too busy. I found a place that is near my work, but the trainers are men. My boyfriend, after learning that they will be touching me to support my back while training, didn't really like that and started making jokes about how all these men will be touching me and how they are going to be on top of me. I didn't like what he said, and it got me upset. I felt like he wasn't supporting me. Later, when I told him I didn't like what he said, he started telling me it was just a joke, but that he was right about how I shouldn't go to a place where all the trainers are men. Keep in mind, there's no other place around the area, so I'm going to have to drop the idea of getting into gymnastics again if I do listen to him. So here are my questions. One, is it fair for him to think that I shouldn't do gymnastics? And two, should I drop gymnastics because he doesn't like it?
All right, to paint the scenario for where we're coming from with this.
The context.
Context, yeah. And the lens I'll be coming from this. So our scenario was Amy got accepted into acting school in Hawaii when we met, just after we met.
Yeah. And, well, I had applied before I met you.
And then we met. And it's a bit different here, though, because one, it was in a different country. And I wasn't ready to do long distance when we first met. So I'm someone that was like, I was never interested in a girlfriend. You know, I've never been interested.
To just have a girlfriend.
It's always like, I'm looking for a wife. Like, this is something that I always wanted. And so for me, I'm like, look, long distance, it's just, it's not for me, you know? So that's that into it. That's where it's different. But I did have issues with you pursuing acting. I want to get your feedback on this too. I'm not saying what I've done is right.
Yeah.
I want to get your perspective because we haven't really had this conversation for years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't really okay with you doing acting school. One, I really didn't want you to be kissing another guy. Mm-hmm. Again, that's my job. You know, I'm the only guy that you do that with. I was just very strong on that.
Yeah.
Even pretend relationship, I just wasn't okay with, you know, especially back then. I don't know. I think for me, the lack of security that is, like, it's just such a gamble. So you hear stories of people that have gone out and want to be an actor and they go there for years and just nothing ever happens. I'm like, I'm not ready to have that life.
Mm.
Like, you know, to try it for a number of years because that's the investments that you need to try and make it. I wasn't ready for that. Kind of, you need to choose in a way. I don't remember the exact words I said, but it was along those lines. Mm. And you stayed.
Mm. You didn't give me an ultimatum. It wasn't like we weren't even officially dating when this happened, for one thing, just to give more context. And you weren't like, is it my way or the highway? It would have been like, as in like, we wouldn't have dated if I had decided to go to Hawaii, but also like, I wouldn't have wanted to either.
Yeah.
Like it would have been, that's my life that I'm pursuing then. And so it wasn't like my boyfriend telling me, I'm going to break up with you if you go over there. It's a different situation. That was more like we were getting to know each other and these were the things we were kind of exploring. And you were like, well, if that's what you want to explore, that's fine. But that's probably not what my journey is.
Yeah.
And so that was just part of it. It's really interesting because there's two things I've really wanted to do in my life, like for my whole life. That's what two things that I've been super passionate about. One is I always wanted four kids. I just wanted a family. I wanted kids. Like ever since I was little, that's the thing. I was like, I just want to be a mom and I want four kids and I want to be married. And that was literally one of my life goals. And I'm not like a super maternal person. I'm not someone who's like obsessed with babies or anything like that. But I knew that I wanted that for me.
You struggle to be a stay-at-home mom.
And I struggle to be a stay-at-home mom. Yeah, I'm not someone who's like the classic, oh, she's such a mom. Like that's just not who I am. But I love having kids. And that literally was one of my things that I was like, that's what I want. And the other thing was acting. Mm. And ever since I was 13, I watched, it was ironically, is literally Reese Witherspoon. That literally.
What was it?
Legally Blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So when I watched Legally Blonde, I like deep dive. I was at a friend's house. I remember so, so clearly. I was at a friend's house. I was 13. I was having a sleepover with her. We watched Legally Blonde. And we deep dived into the like behind the scenes special stuff that you got on DVDs back then. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this lady is amazing. She had started her own like movie production company. I was like, I'm going to do that because I'm not going to like do what everyone wants me to do. Like I didn't want to be naked and that kind of thing. Literally it was like a light bulb had turned on for me when I was 13 and I saw this movie. I don't even know if I'd ever considered acting before. I was like, I'm going to be an actress. And that has followed me through my entire life. Like I still feel that way
now.
I'm doing it now. I'm doing it now. I'm a nun in Sound of Music, but I am. I'm like drama is a huge passion of mine. And so those are the two things very, very clear, very distinct in my head that I was like, these are the two things that I want to do with my life. But they weren't like, I always knew that if I wanted to pursue acting and actually pursue it, like do it the way that I would need to do it to get anywhere, I wouldn't be able to have a family, or at least I wouldn't be able to have the picture of a family that I wanted when I wanted it, which was as soon as possible. And so even before I met you, I even had this super clear voice in my head, which to me is God. Everybody has different views on that. But for me, it was very clearly, this is God telling me, you can do acting or you can have your family. And I was like, I'd already applied for the school and I met Blair literally like 2 weeks after, I think, or I was in the process of doing it. And then I heard back from them as we were starting to get to know each other. And I very clearly was like, I could pick. Blair was like straight away when we saw each other, just kind of knew that we were.
We'll tell that story
in more detail. But it was very like, it wasn't just a random thing. It was very intentional from the very beginning for both of us. And so I knew you were significant and I knew drama was significant, but that was two separate lives. And I could just totally, I'm just totally telling my whole life story right now, but.
That's good.
That I could choose, basically. I felt very clearly I can choose either. Neither of them is bad. And I chose to stay. And yeah. And not just to stay and be with you. Like that wasn't my whole identity all of a sudden. But there's other things I'm interested in, other things that I've explored, like a community that I like, my friends and my family and everything. That there was a whole bunch of reasons to stay here. There was a whole bunch of reasons to go to Hawaii. But I chose to stay here and here we are.
Wham, bam, four kids later.
So it's hard to say this because there's a couple of things going on in this story. One is he's not comfortable with a bunch of guys touching her body all the time. I understand being uncomfortable about that. And the kissing thing is a good example of this. It's kind of the same. Like, you wouldn't have been comfortable with your wife kissing random guys.
Well, no, that wouldn't be random
guys. Or kissing guys just for her job. Same as if you were to do that for your job, if something to do with working with dads meant you had to kiss all these women.
Oh, like, I guess, like, kiss all these dads.
kiss all these dads. I would be super uncomfortable with that. So it's totally fair to be uncomfortable with your partner doing that. I don't think it's fair for the boyfriend to say, you need to drop gymnastics. I think it's fair for him to say, I'm not comfortable with my girlfriend being touched by a bunch of boys. So that's a conversation we need to have if you're going to pursue this. So that's, I think, the distinction.
And again, what I was going to say is it's a conversation to be had. You know, it's not a, you know, she's like, oh, should I drop gymnastics? Well, that's what you've got, that she's going to come to the conclusion of. We had conversations. It wasn't, again, I didn't give the ultimatum, I want you to drop acting. It's like, look, this isn't for me. This isn't what I want. And he could be the same too.
Yeah,
like,
look,
this is not the path that I want to go down. And it is a little bit of an ultimatum. But, I mean, again, I think they're at that age where they're going to work that out.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're still young. They've been dating for a year. Work it out. Like, this is – so she needs to work out, cool, what's more important to me, this relationship or this career?
Yeah. And what also, I know she's saying there's nowhere else for me to go, but in my head, I'm like, are you thinking creatively? Like, are you trying to work around? There could be compromise there. I think ultimatum has a bad connotation. People are like, oh, but I actually don't think ultimatums in the right context have to always be bad. Like, I don't think they have to be some selfish, pushy thing all the time. I think if you're making an ultimatum on someone because you're like, exactly what we've said, this is not what I am comfortable with for my partner. So we can chat about it, but that's not probably the journey for me. That does mean she has to be like, okay, do I stay with you or do I pursue this thing? So that in that sense, it is an ultimatum, but it's not like him being like, drop gymnastics. Like, I hate that you're doing gymnastics. You can't do gym, like controlling. He's got every right to say he doesn't want to be dating someone who's touched by all these men. I think it's personally, I don't feel like.
It sounds exaggerated.
Yeah. It's not what I would do necessarily. Yeah.
I think at the same time too, though, like whatever her decision is, she can't do that grudgingly.
She has to do it for herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the same thing for me. Yeah. I could not have done that because you told me not to. Like, I couldn't have been like, Blair's told me not to do it, so I'm not going to do it. I had to be comfortable with that decision and I had to own that decision because otherwise I would be bitter. And there's been times that I've been like, I wish I had pushed harder to do acting, not gone to Hawaii. That was just like a long distance. Hell no. But like, I wish I had pushed harder to do acting in some capacity or to just bring drama into my life in the theater sense. I have plenty of drama in other ways, but to bring that in other ways, like I didn't have to drop it completely, which I did for a long time. But, I think you're so right. You need to make the decision for yourself. When you're married, it's different. You're making a decision for your family. But when you're dating, especially in this situation, you need to make a decision for yourself and you need to own that decision or you will find yourself bitter down the track.
And you've brought that up quite a lot about acting. I think something in reflection, I could have encouraged you more in that. I think I was just quite, you know, this is me trying to think on the spot here, but I just think I was like, yeah, do it. If you want to do it, do it. Like theater stuff, like local theater things, not like Hollywood sort of stuff. So I think that for that, I probably could have been more encouraging for like, hey, let's look into it. You know, because I think, yeah, you definitely were keen on doing stuff, but never really followed through with it after that too.
I don't think you understood. You were
I didn't understand.
From a different world.
Yeah.
Now you understand a lot more because you've gone into musicals and stuff, which is like Hamilton.
I've gone into music.
You've gotten in, gotten interested in. Yeah. Whereas at the time, that was like such a foreign thing for you.
Well, I went to the first musical like 2 years into marriage.
Was that Matilda or something else?
Maybe it was before we had our oldest. But anyway, either way, we were married. So it was like you introduced me to theatre. But before then, yeah, I'd never.
And your whole world, like your whole everything was just so the absolute opposite of theatre. I do feel like if I'm honest, I feel like you were a little bit embarrassed by me wanting to be into acting. Yeah. And that makes me, it doesn't make me sad now. It made me feel understood a little bit, which has been something that we've worked through as we've gone. And like, even now, like you haven't seen me act.
No.
Ever.
I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
I have zero embarrassment. I'm telling people to come with me to come watch, you know, like it's, but again, yeah. And that's something I apologize for. Like I genuinely was, because again, I was just so didn't get it.
Mm.
Like I was just so, and I had a specific view of it in my head, which is so not true as well.
Which like is, thank you for apologizing, but the situation wasn't because you were embarrassed. I didn't decide not to do it because of that. I think I didn't pursue it
more
maybe slightly because of that.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of stuff in my life that I felt either I haven't communicated it well or people just don't get how significant it is to me. And so I just won't kind of go there for a while, but we're in a really good place with that now. And you were super encouraging for this production that I'm in and totally encouraging to our kids to explore that stuff and everything too, which is cool. Anyway, that's my whole life story about theater and drama, but that's why I put the story in there because I thought it was relevant. And the taboo side of that, just to tie back into the theme as we finish up, is like exactly this conversation. Where is the balance between putting influence into what your partner does for certain boundaries and that kind of thing, with something she's passionate about, her partner's not comfortable with it? Where's that balance and how do you navigate that? Which I think we explored.
Yeah. It's through communication.
Communicate. Well, thank you. The other thing that we implemented, if you didn't catch our last episode, was we've decided that ChatGPT is going to write our corny outros for us. So every week we will come up with a different corny outro.
Well, ChatGPT.
ChatGPT will, sorry. So brace yourself every week for a very exciting AI-generated outro.
And there you have it, folks. We've wrapped up another Gab Fest at Honey, We Need to Chat. Like a bear to honey, we hope you stick around for more sweet talk next time. Chowskis.
Chowskis, is that what it says?
No, I said that.
That's super corny.
And some Blair.
All right, bye.
Bye.